greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Morocco, where the field is now set for the quarterfinals at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament for locally based players on the continent. In the first quarterfinal Saturday, Morocco will host Namibia in Casablanca, and that will be followed by a quarterfinal match between Zambia and Sudan in Marrakesh. On Sunday, the quarterfinal action will take place in Tangier and Agadir. In Agadir, Congo-Brazzaville will play Libya, and in Tangier, Nigeria will go against Angola. The Angolans clinched their quarterfinal berth Wednesday with a scoreless draw against Congo-Brazzaville in Agadir. Angola needed only a draw to go through, while the Congolese already had booked their ticket to the quarterfinals. In Wednesday's other match, played in Tangier, Burkina Faso and Cameroon played to a one-all draw. The Burkinabe took the lead in the 42nd minute when Panga Bambara's cross was parried on the ground by Cameroon's goalkeeper, Derek Frew Anye. Mohamed Sidney Silla then tapped home to make it 1-0 Burkina Faso. Patrick Musombo equalized for Cameroon in the 52nd minute. It was Cameroon's first goal of the tournament, a disappointing showing for these locally based indomitable Lions, who were coached in Morocco by former Cameroon star Rigobert Song. The host Atlas Lions of Morocco are the highest scoring team so far at the African Nations Championship, with 7 goals in the group phase. 5 of those goals have come from 24-year-old striker Ayoub El Kabi, who looks like the front runner for the Golden Boot Award at Morocco 2018. Meanwhile, former Italian star Andrea Pirlo believes Lionel Messi of Argentina, Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal, and Harry Kane of England will battle it out for the Golden Boot at this year's World Cup in Russia. The 38-year-old Pirlo lifted the World Cup with Italy in 2006. Tottenham Hotspur man Harry Kane is leading England's Premier League in scoring right now with 21 goals, while Messi is on top of Spain's La Liga scoring charts with 19 goals. More African football news. Rwanda's German coach, 47-year-old Antoine Hey, has asked the country's football federation to terminate his contract. Hayes' request come 2 days after Rwanda was knocked out of the African Nations Championship in Morocco. Rwanda's football federation says it will meet with the Ministry of Sports and Culture in the upcoming days to review Hayes' proposal. The German previously coached the national football teams of Kenya, Liberia, Gambia, and Lesotho. Just ahead, Dan Friedel will have an update on the USA Gymnastics sexual abuse scandal. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Sports reporter Dan Friedel joins us now with an update on the sexual abuse scandal rocking USA Gymnastics. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Sonny.
So just before the opening ceremony of the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, we talked here on the Sunny Side of Sports about a story that came out of the Indianapolis, Indiana newspaper about lawsuits filed against the body that governs gymnastics in the United States. This was a big deal leading into the Rio Games. The story said USA Gymnastics officials ignored complaints about sexual abuse at the hands of various coaches and doctors that worked with both the athletes who competed at the local level and the national team levels. So based on that story, later that year, former USA Gymnastics athlete Rachel Den Hollander came forward with her story of being sexually abused by a Dr. Larry Nassar, who worked for both Michigan State University and USA Gymnastics. As we moved into 2017, the allegations against Nassar grew into the hundreds, and the state of Michigan announced dozens of charges against him. The state's attorney general called Nassar a monster at a press conference. Proceedings continued into 2018, and on Wednesday in Michigan, Nassar was found guilty and sentenced to a prison term of between 40 and 175 years. Some of the international-level Olympic gymnasts that accused Nassar of abusing them were Allie Raceman, Michaela Maroney, Gabby Douglas, and Simone Biles. Biles, Raceman, and Douglas all won medals for the USA in Rio. On Wednesday, during the sentencing, some of the athletes spoke about their experiences with Nassar and how the case was handled. One of them was Taryn Akemi-Look. She spoke about how the testimony from some of the other victims allowed her to confidently speak at the hearing, too.
Today was one of the hardest days of my life. But if it was not for these women, all week, speaking their truth, I would not be able to stand here and speak in front of you right now. They gave me courage. They gave me hope that there can be change, and we need change. This needs to end here. Everyone in the world should be outraged right now, and if you aren't, you should examine why. Because if you aren't as outraged as I am, you should ask yourselves why.
Den Hollander said she wants to know why more people at Michigan State University did not respond to complaints against her.
Who else at MSU had received reports of Larry's behavior and did not act? Who else helped contribute to the greatest sexual assault scandal in history?
The scandal resulted in the news Wednesday that the president of Michigan State University was resigning. After all of that was done, Look complimented the judge, Rosemarie Aquilina, for the way she handled the hearing.
I personally, and I think I speak for everyone, I'm so grateful for the way that she handled this with such sensitivity, because to stand up there is so hard, and I can't imagine anyone else being there listening like that, and the support that she gave us after.
That's Taryn Akemi-Look, one of the victims in the USA Gymnastics sexual assault scandal. Now, let's move on to the Australian Open, where competition is moving into the semifinals on the men's side and the finals on the women's. If you remember, last year, we had what many people called the old folks finals. Hard to believe we're calling people in their 30s old folks, Sonny. But the results were a pregnant, we found out later on that Serena Williams was pregnant, defeated her sister Venus in the finals on the women's side, and in the men's tournament, Roger Federer needed 5 sets to defeat Rafael Nadal. this year, neither of the women's of the Williams sisters are in the final. The women's tournament will be capped by a match between Romania's Simona Halep and Denmark's Carolyn Wozniacki. On the men's side, Federer is still in competition. He's aiming to make the final on Friday. If he wins, he'll face Marin Cilic of Croatia. It's the first Australian Open finals for Cilic, and Federer is looking for his sixth career title down under.
Dan, I would have to say Federer must be considered the favorite for the men's title down under at this stage.
It all comes down to how the old man is feeling. We'll see. We'll find out this weekend.
Yes, indeed. We will watch and see the Australian Open tennis tournament winding down in Melbourne. Now some news about a young basketball player from Yaoundé, Cameroon. He's having an excellent season for the Philadelphia 76ers in the National Basketball Association. And our sports social media reporter, Brianna Muir, joins us now with news about that player. Sporty greetings, Brianna.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Once rejected by Rihanna, 2018 NBA All-Star Joel Embiid says he has moved on. As a rookie, the Cameroonian center took to social media to get a date with Rihanna, who he says told him to come back when he's an all-star. Now, almost 4 years later, he is averaging more than 20 points a game for the Philadelphia 76ers and starts his first all-star game next month. In an interview on TNT, he said, "She denied me back then, so why go out with her again?" he said about Rihanna. "So I have to pass and move on to the next one. Trust the process." So here's everything you need to know about Embiid. He is over 7 feet and almost 250 pounds. The 23-year-old was drafted third in the first round of the 2014 NBA draft. Embiid is having the best season ever. Thus far, in 35 games, he has averaged 23.7 points. To celebrate his All-Star nomination, he wrote on Instagram, "Fantastic day. We got a great win, and I become an All-Star. I want to thank all of you guys out there and the organization for the support. We've been through so much, but this is for you guys, so thank you." So, Sonny, do you think Embiid still has a chance with Rihanna? Back to you.
Well, Brianna, I don't know if Embiid has a chance with Rihanna, but I know he had another very good game last night for the Philadelphia 76ers. They defeated the Chicago Bulls 115-101. Embiid with 22 points. Dan, what can you say about Embiid making his first All-Star appearance this year for the Philadelphia 76ers?
I feel like we've talked about Embiid so much, he should be the show's mascot. he's certainly a remarkable talent, and you would have to say that it's too bad this All-Star nomination didn't come sooner in his career. When he came out of the University of Kansas, I think a lot of people expected him to be this good, but just his body was letting him down. And now we're seeing how good of a player he is, how athletic, how versatile he is, and really puts the 76ers into the conversation in the Eastern Conference, especially with a guy like Ben Simmons, who recorded a triple-double last night. That's double digits in points, rebounds, and assists, helping the 76ers move up in the rankings in the Eastern Conference with the win against the Bulls.
In another highlight last night in the NBA, Dan, the Gasol brothers went against each other. San Antonio Spurs, they defeated the Memphis Grizzlies 108-85. And you were talking about older players, Dan, earlier. Pau Gasol, very good game for the Spurs. 14 points, 15 rebounds, and 9 assists for the Spurs. I'm going to check what Marc Gasol did, his younger brother. Well, he was on the court for 29 minutes, and he scored 18 points for the Grizzlies. I would say the Gasol brothers probably know each other's moves out there on the court, Dan.
You know, they're slightly different body types, with Pau being a little longer and leaner than Marc, and Marc being a little bit more of a bruiser, but they both have that European-style game. The ability to get outside and make some shots. It's too bad that Marc Gasol has found himself on a struggling Memphis team this year. You wonder, these two brothers, how much time they have left to play in the upper level of the NBA, but it looks like, you know, they both have the ability, Pau especially has the ability to produce some pretty good numbers occasionally, you know, fitting in with the team that has some of the older players in the NBA with the Spurs. And obviously, Greg Popovich knows how to pull the strings to get the best out of his players. I mean, it's been a pleasure to watch these guys make a name for themselves in the NBA after coming to the U.S. from Spain. And we wish them luck and see how long they can keep it going.
In other NBA results, Wednesday night, the Boston Celtics snapped a four-game losing streak by defeating the Los Angeles Clippers 113-102. Celtics currently on a West Coast road swing. And I know we've talked about the Celtics on the show early in 2018 too, Dan, but what do you make of the Celtics right now?
The Celtics did show the ability to bounce back from a loss to the Lakers the other night. The Lakers themselves have been under a lot of duress recently, not really living up to the expectations that those fans have for their team. You know, so many great years in the 80s and 90s with players like Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, who was nominated for an Oscar the other day. And okay. and here the Lakers are struggling once again. Luke Walton kind of having trouble as the coach of that team. So the Celtics losing to a down on their luck Lakers team showed the ability to bounce back against the Clippers, who had Blake Griffin back in the lineup for the first time in a while, starting the last couple games after being out with an injury. So I think that shows that they're resilient. They're able to make hay on the West Coast when they're playing a game much later than they're used to in Boston.
Dan, you mentioned Kobe Bryant. We mentioned Kobe on Wednesday's show, a proud member of the NBA's 30,000 point club. The latest member of that club is LeBron James. But talk about that Academy Award nomination, Dan. What is that all about?
So I believe that Bryant wrote a poem as a part of a contribution to the Players Tribune, which is an online site that's I think one of the number one investors is former New York Yankees star Derek Jeter. And Bryant has shown an interest in getting involved in the entertainment business, producing films and other kinds of works of entertainment. And he put his poem to video and he earned a nomination. And he'll be up for an Academy Award in March. That's a pretty impressive segue from playing career to the production career.
Very impressive indeed. More NBA news. The league recently announced the reserves for its All-Star game next month, which will take place in Kobe's backyard at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Among the news, there's always controversy about the picks, but Russell Westbrook was upset, Dan, that his Oklahoma City teammate, Paul George, did not get selected for the All-Star game. And Portland Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard, he has fired back, so to speak, at Westbrook. He's quoted as saying before last night's game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, "I respect Russ a lot, so it was kind of disappointing to see him say that. He has played against me, and he's played against our team. He knows what I've accomplished." Sounds like Lillard, Dan, defending himself for his All-Star selection.
Well, you know, Lillard has been, I mean, you've got a player in Portland who doesn't get a ton of attention, but when it's been a big game, he's a guy who's really performed. You look back and see how he's done in the playoffs, you know, not a big star coming out of college. I think it's great to see guys like that get some attention. And Paul George, it must be said, I mean, he had a great career with the Pacers. He suffered a terrible injury, breaking his leg during a summer camp game, I think in preparation for the 2016 Olympics. And he's made a remarkable recovery. But, you know, he's on the backside of his career a little bit. I mean, he's certainly still a high-level player, but there are lots of notable players in the NBA these days. And guys who are you know, making a name for themselves that are newer in the league that ought to have a chance.
Let's turn to golf now, Dan. Tiger Woods, the veteran American star, beginning his quest on this Thursday to perhaps play a full golf schedule in 2018. He'll be teeing off shortly at the Farmers Insurance Open Tournament in Southern California. What do you make of Tiger now, Dan? Do you think he can compete again and stay healthy?
That's the big question. I mean, Tiger Woods is only 42. He's if you think about some of the great golfers from the 70s and 80s, they were still able to perform pretty well into their 40s. If Woods is healthy from the back injury, which he says that he is, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get higher up on the leaderboard. But it's going to be tough for him to compete against these young guys like Rory McIlroy and the other players in their 20s. You know, the last time Woods really had a successful season was 5 years ago, and he's only played in 19 tournaments since then, getting into the top 10 only once. And, you know, we remember how out of sorts he looked when he was picked up for driving under the influence last year. If he's able to get himself back together and put in a couple of more productive years between now and the time he's in, you know, his mid-40s, I think it has to be seen as a big accomplishment for him.
And this tournament will be played at the scenic Torrey Pines course in La Jolla, California. Dan, you were recently in Southern California, and kind of a tie-in with Serena Williams, the American tennis star. Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Right. We know that Serena recently gave birth, and there was a lot of attention paid to her relationship with Alexis Ohanian, an internet businessman. Lots of photos of her in magazines showing off her pregnancy and her the daughter that she gave birth to late last year. And the question was she going to be ready to go back and defend her title at the Australian Open? And she decided she wasn't ready, which we can all understand. And it says that she says she's going to be back for a tournament in Southern California. She's going to be playing at the BNP Paribas Open, which is at Indian Wells in the middle part of March, close to Palm Springs, California, where I just came back from. Nice to be able to enjoy some warm weather and sunshine in the middle of the winter.
Finally, Dan, in Major League Baseball, a quartet of former stars will be attaining their sport's highest honor. Tell our VOA listeners about that.
You know, this is really a great Hall of Fame class. The very small baseball Hall of Fame in the tiny town of Cooperstown, New York, in central New York, becomes a big city for a weekend in July as Major League Baseball royalty comes together to celebrate these players. And Chipper Jones, who made a name for himself with the Atlanta Braves, playing his entire career with the Braves, which is unique these days. He was inducted. Jim Thome, who was a childhood hero of mine for the Cleveland Indians, he hit over 600 home runs, one of the few players to get over 600 home runs in his career. Really came up and made a name for himself playing in some World Series with the Cleveland Indians before moving on to the Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago White Sox. Vladimir Guerrero of the Dominican Republic played for the Montreal Expos early in his career, known as a free swinger with a lot of power and a great arm in the outfield, throwing people out from right field. Trevor Hoffman was a great closer, the pitcher who would come into the game late in the game, mostly for the San Diego Padres and shut down the other team. Those are four legitimate all-stars who are going to be going into the Hall of Fame, and that was announced yesterday.
Thank you, Dan. Dan Friedel. And Dan, I understand you'll be back on Friday's show.
Look forward to being here again, Sonny. Thanks.
Dan Friedel. And that wraps up the January 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Religious freedom is an internationally acknowledged human right, recognized as such in the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the Helsinki Accords, and many covenants and declarations. The promotion of religious freedom is a central element of the United States foreign policy. Countries that protect freedom of religion are more stable, economically successful, and peaceful. Nonetheless, in far too many places around the globe, people continue to be persecuted, unjustly prosecuted, or imprisoned for exercising their right to freedom of religion or belief. Today, a number of governments infringe upon individuals' ability to adopt, change, or renounce their religion or belief, worship in accordance with their religion or beliefs, or be free from coercion to practice a particular religion or belief, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. In accordance with the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998, the Secretary of State annually designates governments that have engaged in or tolerated systematic, ongoing, and egregious violations of religious freedom as countries of particular concern. At the end of December, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson redesignated Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan as countries of particular concern for having engaged in or tolerated particularly severe violations of religious freedom. The Secretary also placed Pakistan on a special watch list for severe violations of religious freedom. From the beginning, America has been a place that has cherished the freedom of worship. Sadly, many around the globe do not enjoy this freedom, said President Donald Trump. We pray for the strength and wisdom to achieve a better tomorrow, one where good people of all faiths, Christians and Muslims and Jewish and Hindu, can follow their hearts and worship according to their conscience.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.